And that's what I want to dwell on in this sermon tonight. And I want to call this the touch of faith.
Shall we look to the Lord briefly? My Father, bless us tonight as we come here to do a service for your cause. I recognize that I have before me your sheep. These are the people of God. And I come, Lord, as a messenger. Oh, God, I bring a message. I bring a message. Be ye reconciled to God. And, Lord, we have been bought with a price, and not with silver nor gold, but with the blood of Jesus. And because of that, we can tell this old story again. And I pray that you'll bless heart and home that's represented here. Enable me, God, to tell this truth. So faithfully may I break this bread of life, I pray, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As I study Pentecost, I don't know why God brought me in at this hour. Happy, I wish 100 times God saved me by the time He saved you, we could have walked along together. I like you.
Yeah, I do you too.
But I didn't meet you until just a few years back. No, I came in, I sat right there with those two ladies that's sitting back there. Sisters, I presume. And sitting there with my wife. Well, you are one way anyhow. And I noticed him scrutinizing me.
Yeah.
Of course, he had a songbook upside down. I know he couldn't be singing much. I wondered who he was.
Yeah.
He had that book there, and he kind of peeked at me a little bit.
Yeah, I remember.
He's going at it, and I was looking at the ceiling, wondering how this place was built. And then he finally walked right on down. He walked down to where I was, and he said, "I know you." And I said, "Yes, I guess you do." He'd seen me, I guess, at a camp. And we got acquainted. Well, we've had fine times of fellowship since then. And I treasure those. My boy treasures the little fellowship he had here the other day. That's fine. And we found something in common. But you know, as ministers get along and as we go along, there's one thing any minister that's still in harness today, regardless of whether you're young or old, if you're a man of God, there's one thing you're asking for, and that's an old-fashioned move of the Spirit of God. I'll never be satisfied if God lets me live till I'm 100 years old and preach this gospel to my dying day. I'll never be satisfied with any new thing that's going to do away with the old-fashioned move of God.
Come on.
I need that glory. And there's just enough of the old-fashioned way in me that I can't accept the streamlined modern programs of our day. I just can't do it. I just can't do it, saints. And I'm interested in a touch. And it seems to me that many folks, I do not say all people, but many people are losing out on that little thing called faith today.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a foreign thing in regards to many. It seems to be so far away, but I'm asking God to increase our faith. Now, that's what I want to do, if I can encourage your faith tonight. You need somehow to build up your faith. And you need to exercise your faith. And you need to somehow believe that my God's going to do just what He said He'd do. Isn't that right? You need to believe that God will do just that. And I believe that He will. Now this lady, when she went by, she said, "I'm going to do everything I can to get next to Him. And if I can just touch the hem of His garment." Now I know the story. There was a teaching that in the hem of the priest's robe, the robe of the high priest was supposed now to contain virtue.
Yes.
And then Jesus was one that she recognized as a teacher priest. And she knew if she could just get close to that rabbi, if she could just get close to that priest and touch the hem of his garment, yes, she would be made whole.
Yes.
Well, and so that was what she was trying to do. It wasn't easy. She had to press and to strain and to strive, and because of her sickly body,
body. And because of the crowd that was pressing against her, it wasn't an easy thing to do. But nevertheless, that woman had faith that if she could just get there, it would be done. But you know what it was? Suddenly when Jesus stopped and that woman just reached right in there and touched the hem of his garment, it wasn't just a couple fingers getting a hold of somebody's clothes. That wasn't just a thing that made Jesus stop. He didn't just feel somebody rustling his clothes. That's what the disciples asked him about.
Yeah.
They said, now look here. Everybody's pulling at your clothes.
Yeah.
And somehow you can't go through the crowd without feeling your garments crowded and pressed against. And Jesus just didn't feel somebody touching on his clothes there, but he felt something deeper than that.
Yeah.
He felt something better than that.
Yeah.
He felt the touch of that woman's faith.
Yeah.
And her faith reached out.
Yeah.
The fingers of her faith reached up and got a hold of God. And that's what I want to bring to you tonight. The faith touch. And I know we're Pentecost people, and if we'll just dare believe God, all things are possible to him that believes. You hear what I'm telling you? He even told that fellow called Thomas one time, and this fellow didn't believe. He just didn't believe. And Jesus gave him an opportunity after the resurrection, and he said, all you've got to do, Thomas, he said, now is just reach out and put your fingers here in the nail prints that's in my hands and in my feet, and thrust your hand in my ribbon side. You do that now. If you don't believe that it's really me here, you said it wasn't, and you didn't believe the other fellas, come down and touch. The Lord didn't mind him touching. He didn't mind him touching. But you listen to me, please. God bless the folks that will believe this gospel and believe this message and let their faith go and touch God. God bless the folks that will believe that have never seen God.
Amen.
That's the message he brought to them. Do you know that in the Old Testament, those old-time patriarchs, they always blessed me. As I read the story about them, there's just something about those old boys that they got out there. Well, they lived a long time. They knew when they was going to die, you know. And they called all their friends in. They said, well, I feel now that strength is leaving my body. They knew when they was going to die.
Yeah.
I said they knew that.
Yeah.
I was praying Sunday. We had a sick lady. And Saturday, I, we had one of those weddings in the church, you know. Young folks got married. And nobody cooked my breakfast. Nobody could get my, well, only twice a day, so I didn't have any lunch. And I run out there and took care of that wedding. And we run out till dark. And, of course, you know, when Samson was married, they had a feast there for 30 days. Or longer, or however it was, a couple weeks or so. And they killed a cow and had a big time. But nowadays they give you a little glass of punch and a little bit of piece of cake. And I had that little piece of cake that night and that little glass of punch. And the next morning I run for my radio program. I have no breakfast. And I was going to sit down to my Sunday dinner. And the phone rang and said, well, now, will you come please, Brother Ballester? My wife's sick. She's bad sick. You got to come now. And I ran out there and I stayed there till dark, church time, and trying to pray and weep, you know, I just didn't have any strength, and I was trying to get a hold of God. And suddenly that woman, I could just see her eyes were just kind of set, and she was really in bad shape, and she couldn't talk, and it seemed like her tongue had a stroke and was paralyzed. And the young woman, and I tell you, just wring your heart. And this man, she said, honey, I feel like I'm dying. She just laid there, and she said, it's going. And you could just see her swooning back in the bed, and he fell on the floor and was crying. And somehow we had a prayer meeting. We prayed about 4 hours then, and was weary and tired, and trying to get a hold of God, and said, well, now, honey, are you praying? And she couldn't talk, and she couldn't say Jesus. Just couldn't talk. Some matter with her tongue, and paralyzed. And she had just stayed there on her all night, and just recurring on her. We didn't know what it was. And there, this poor thing, it looked like couldn't help herself. So we got down to business, and we just had to reach up and touch God. I said, you've got to touch God.
Amen.
And you can just pray, but prayer is one thing, and the touch of faith is another thing. Beating the floor is one thing, but the touch of faith is another thing. And you just got to tear loose and get a hold of God. Tears don't mean anything with God if you don't send that faith out there with you. You hear what I'm telling you? We can't have Pentecost without faith. We can't even get a soul to the altar after preaching a message if we don't have enough faith to get him down here. And you can't pray somebody through the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you haven't got faith when you kneel down to with him that God's going to give him the Holy Ghost. I mean that. I got down and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and suddenly I said, God won't give it to me. But somebody got me by the shoulder and said, get on down there, because God's going to do it. God's going to do it. They had faith, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. My God, don't take the faith out of Pentecost.
The Lord himself even said, when he comes back again, would he find faith on the earth? We better exercise that thing. Oh, that phone rang. That phone rang yesterday morning. My wife said, oh, how's that sick woman? He says, well, she's on the other line. All right, here she is. Praise God, setting up. Said, I feel good today. Brand new. We've got a God that knows how to answer prayer. Listen to me, please. And oh, yes, this woman felt like she was going to die. And oh, she was setting her house in order. But in those old days of the patriarchs, when they said, well, now my time is gone, they brought the children in one by one. You know what happened? Oh, they just longed to have that old white-haired man take his hands and lay them upon their heads. And the eldest, or the firstborn son, he wanted the father's blessing as he laid the hand upon his head. What was it? Five fingers laid upon your head? That didn't mean anything. But he knew that in that dying man's prayer, there was some faith, and there was some blessing, and there was the impartation of that man's gifts and that man's goods, and everything that dad had went to the firstborn. They had faith to believe that.
Right.
You'll find in the Bible, many times they have these little symbolisms here, symbolical meanings here of what this faith touch is all about. You'll notice that we anoint with oil. You come to Pentecost Church, and the first time you saw a bottle of oil, you said, what in the world are they doing up there with that little bottle? You didn't know what it was all about. Well, you say, I'm going to get me one. Well, a bottle of oil don't mean anything.
No.
You say, well, it has to be, let's see, Victoria olive oil. It don't have to be Victoria any other kind. Brother, you can anoint with hair oil and get healed.
Okay.
I was reading about a missionary. He was dying. And that evangelist had an elder, he had a 20-year-old boy. He said, go out and find some oil. The Bible said, oil, get some oil. He said, we haven't got anything but coal oil. He said, pour it on me.
Yeah.
Run and pour coal oil on me. Got healed. God would even bless an ignorant man. Because it's just not in the oil, it was in the prayer of faith.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm telling you? God wants us to use olive oil, we know better. God wants us to do this. Now they use that in the priesthood. But what I'm trying to tell you, it's not wrapped up in a bottle of oil.
No.
It's not wrapped up in just a couple of men with black suits on,
no,
or black with collars or anything else. I'll tell you what it is. It's the prayer of faith.
Glory.
It's the touch of faith.
Glory.
And we haven't got that. We haven't got the goods.
Oh, yeah. Now.
Haven't got it. Just haven't got it. Now, in the Old Testament or the New, they've had this anointing with oil, and they've had these other things there. That's just a little touch of it. But then also, you notice in the New Testament, the presbytery would lay their hands, these old elders of Israel.
Yeah.
Paul,
yeah.
You know, he said, all right now, boy, I'm going to lay my hands on it. Now, somebody come along today and they're talking about what they can give people from their hands. You're not giving me anything from your hands.
No.
Somebody says, I'll lay my hands on you, you'll get the gift of you. I'm not getting anything from your hands.
No. No, sir.
Amen.
That's the truth. Now, you don't get anything from those fellows there. Not even an offer, and they won't do that, hardly.
Yes, right.
I want to tell you, it's not in anybody's hands.
No.
I'll tell you where it comes from. It's the touch of faith. That's all that it is. It's the contact of faith. It's just not the contact of a man's hand. A man can lay his hands on you and you can die, and you never will get your healing if you don't feel the contact by faith.
Glory.
That's what we need today. King Saul, he was an ordinary man. But it came to pass that when he got around certain folks, you hear what I'm telling you?
Yes.
He got around certain folks, something happened to him. He got around some of those prophets, and pretty soon Saul began to prophesy.
Yes.
And they said, is not Saul now among the prophets? Is he among us? How come? Why, he danced a little bit. He shouted a little bit. He prophesied a little bit. It seemed that when he got around there, his faith reached up.
Oh.
And he was more than an ordinary man. He became a mighty man for God.
Yes,
sir. You know, there's all kinds of different reactions when we get around God. I don't know what kind of a reaction you make when the Holy Ghost takes over. But I want to tell you something. When you begin to reach up and touch God, you're going to act.
Amen.
There's some actions that go through this thing. Brother, these are the acts of the Holy Ghost. You say it's all written. Well, yes, I realize that. The acts is all right in there. But the Holy Ghost is still doing some actions among us today.
Amen.
And oh, yes, sir, up and down the aisles and around town and in your home. Thank God, in everyday experience in Christian life, you'll find some more acts of the Holy Ghost. He's doing things for you. And you've got to feel this move of God. And you can, you can, you can. And you act one way and the other fellow's going to act another way, but all of you got to act.
Yeah, of course.
Huh.
Praise the
Lord. Well,
come on. We got a dead man. I got a dead man here.
Kind of light. And he was taking a fella out to bury him, trying to get him out to the graveyard. And as they was taking that poor old dead fella out there, suddenly they heard a big commotion. They said, oh, here comes the enemy. And those Jews saw the host of the enemy out there, and they was afraid. So they said, I tell you what we got to do now. We've got to take this fella down and get him out of the way and run for our lives. And they found a graveyard, and they stuck this fella right down in a grave. Stuck him in a tomb there where they had a prophet of God laying there. The bones of Elisha was in that grave. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I said the bones of Elisha was laying in there.
Yeah.
He was long gone.
Yeah.
He had passed out of the picture.
Yeah.
And here was somebody that didn't know anything about Elisha. He didn't know as far as meeting him or how much hair he didn't have very much. He had left on his head. Nobody knew. But here he was, since a big old bald-headed prophet, he had passed off, and he had gone off the scene. But here comes a fella years later, they just quickly threw him in there and said, we have to get him out. But bless God, they didn't have to worry about getting him out. His bones no sooner touched the bones of Elisha, he come on out on his own steam.
Yeah.
Now he brought him back to life again. He touched somebody in there.
Yeah.
He touched some old bones in there that had something in there.
Yeah.
And you listen to me, please. There still is in this gobble. There still is in my Christ. He may be dead. He may be buried. But bless God, he's alive. Thank God. And you can touch him tonight. And you can find him. And you can feel him. And you can hear him. He's there today to resurrect you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't care how dry you feel.
The thing that worries me is Pentecost sometimes can kind of get tired of God. But you folks are good folks. And all you need is just to get back that touch of faith. That's all Pentecost needs. Oh, I'm not here to whip you and chastise you and criticize you. No, 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 no. You've got more good points than you have bad ones. All you need is that touch of faith again. Brother, when Pentecost begins to touch God again, don't you worry. The standard automatically begins to come up.
Oh.
Sinners automatically begin.
began to get in here.
Yeah. Oh, conviction of idolatry is felt in the church.
Yeah.
And when we can get a bunch of sinners in the house of God and not feel old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction, if they can sit under a Pentecostal sermon and walk out the door, my God, have mercy on us. We need a touch of faith again to bring God down to our Pentecost gatherings. It's there, folks. All you need is to touch it. Touch it. Isn't that right? You need to touch it. You know, old Moses, he tried it. Old Moses tried it one time to lead the people out, but he did it in his own steam, and God didn't want his way. I said, God didn't want the way of man. He had to sit him down and just let him sweat it out for 4 years. But oh, when Moses come back again, he had more than just Moses. He had God. He had a different touch. I said he had a different touch. We can get in our strength, and we can get in ourselves, and that'll never get it done. But when we get the touch of God, that's what Pentecost needs. It needs a new touch. It needs a new gift. It needs a touch of faith to reach out and grab a hold of the promises of God again. Can't you see a great preacher? I'm talking about a preacher. I'm not talking about a sinner. I'm talking about the most eloquent prophet in all the Old Testament, or the whole Bible for that matter. The 40th chapter of Isaiah is one of the masterpieces of literature, religious or otherwise. And we find that Isaiah, one day he got down there, brother, he went to the temple.
Yeah.
He went to the temple. You know, a lot of preachers go to church, you know, and they go to the temple, don't you see? But oh, they still need a little touch of God. Preachers need a little touch of God. I don't mind telling you, there's a whole lot of times I want God to touch me again, and again, and again, and again. And when we begin to do things in our own power, and we do things in our own steam, and we don't have the touch of God, then we can't do the works of God. If this is a supernatural gospel, to do the supernatural works of God, we need a supernatural touch of God. This is not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord.
You know, Isaiah, he got down there and he didn't say, "Now look here, God." He said, "Now I'm a student and this fellow is the most eloquent speaker in all the old Bible." Why, hey, brother, he was filled with oratory. He had all that down pat. Yes, sir, he didn't need any help there. You know, there's a lot of folks that are gifted speakers, silver tongues and so on. That don't get anybody saved in itself. All I want to tell you what's going to get the job done is that little touch of faith. And so he just got over there and he was in the temple. Oh, bless God. When old Uzziah died, you know, he's a type of sin and leprosy. When you begin to get sin out of the way, then you watch God come down and take over.
Oh.
And when he saw Uzziah die, then he began to see the Lord high and lifted up. And we can't have faith unless our eyes are upon God. And he began to look at this crucified Christ, this lamb that was to come. He looked at his Savior, his God. Oh, when he saw that, you know what he did? He didn't say, "Now, Lord, I got one or two bad points." No. He cried out, "Woe is me."
Yeah.
He said, "Woe is me. I am undone."
Yeah.
And when he cried out like that, and he began to confess his sin, and he realized his need, and he humbled his heart, then bless God, here come an angel down with a coal of fire, thank God, from off the altar, and he touched him with it. I said he touched him with it. He put it upon his tongue. It's one thing to speak fluently, but it's another thing to speak by the Holy Ghost power. And he began to speak by God. And that's what we need today. You ought to pray for the ministry. You ought to pray for your preacher. You ought to pray for the evangelist that they might be flaming fires for God in this old wicked world, that the Pentecost might have that touch again. In the beginning, Pentecost didn't have anything. They didn't have seats like you got.
They didn't have organs or 5 PMs. As a matter of fact, some of the poor boys didn't go to school. They only had one shirt on the back. And some of the folks that came out fared not much better. But God didn't look at education.
No.
He didn't look at fine buildings. But oh, there's one thing those old timers have. They had a touch of faith.
Oh, glory.
They knew how to bow down on their knees and get a hold of God. And if the Pentecost church today don't know how to bend a knee and wrestle with God a little bit and find an answer, you listen to what I'm saying, you can get all of this and get a whole lot more besides. But if you lose the touch of faith, you lost it all. You hear what I'm telling you? It's going to take faith to please God. It's going to take power to go someplace for God in this old wicked world. It may not be easy to get. But I can see a man that's got his back to the wall. You know, Phil always does best when he's got his back to the wall. I like to preach when I got my back to the wall. It's not to the wall tonight. And I do. I like to preach with my back to the wall.
Yeah.
And you cry harder.
Yeah.
And in other words, you know you've got to.
Yeah.
But old Jacob, he realized that his brother was going to come and take away his life if he didn't get an answer from God.
Yeah.
And he started to pray. And brother, as he got down in prayer on bended knees, suddenly there appeared a man to wrestle with him.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
My God's a wrestler.
Yeah.
I said, God's a wrestler.
Yes, he is.
And brother, he's going to throw you for one more loop if you don't watch out.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
God's a wrestler. Oh, but he met in this little old fellow. He met a fellow that knew how to hang on. And Jacob got him down. And when the angel of the Lord, that was God, that's who it was.
Yeah.
That was God's theophany. That's the way God appeared to man in those days. And when the angel of the Lord came down there, brother old Jake got a hold of it.
Yeah.
And hung on.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he had a scissor hole or a half Nelson or what he had, but he was hanging on.
Yeah.
And they rolled and they tumbled and they tossed and they tussled.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they did. And sometimes God was on top. And sometimes Jacob was on top.
Yeah.
And I mean, they grunted and groaned. Oh, you say, now, preacher, don't say all that. Well, bless God, they wrestled all out. There had to be some grunting.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Oh, you say, well, that's a spiritual thing. He just wrestled in prayer. Well, I'll tell you what the book said. Put a man to wrestle with it.
Yeah.
Didn't it say?
Yeah.
Praise God. And if you are wrestling in prayer and you ever get in the Holy Ghost prayer, then my Bible said you're gonna pray with groanings that can't be uttered by man.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you will.
Yeah.
And you'll groan and you'll grunt and you'll wrestle around until you can get somewhere with God.
Yeah.
And you want a revival, and I want a revival.
Yeah.
And we want it on our terms. But you only get it on God's terms.
Yeah.
And you have to wrestle and you have to fight and you have to strive and touch God by faith to get it. If you ever get it.
Amen.
Yeah. And oh, bless God. All night long they wrestled on. And I mean the sweat began to roll off of Jacob. And oh, I say his back kind of felt like he was tired and bruised there. And his muscles were strained and they hurt. But he hung on and he hung on and he hung on. And suddenly, through the groan and through the grunting there, all right, pretty soon the angel of the Lord said, let me go. Let me go. Let me go. But oh, Jacob said, I won't do it until you bless me. And oh, he fought some more and some more and some more. And pretty soon he said, let me go. But Jacob said, I won't do it until you bless me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, he did. I said, yes, he did.
Oh.
Pretty soon the old moon began to fade away. And the bright morning star up there, it began to go away.
Oh.
And the darkest hour just before dawn.
Yeah.
And just before the sun come up, they fought pretty soon. The angel of the Lord said, I give up. He'd already touched him where Poor fella was dragging one leg, but he wouldn't let go. I said he wouldn't let go. Touched him, why, he had a stranglehold on him almost, but that didn't get it done. I'll tell you what got the blessing. It was a touch of faith.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
That boy got up from that wrestling match. He was a prince with God. You hear me?
Amen.
Brother, if Pentecost would just get them down on their knees again and learn how to wrestle with God, your walk might be crippled. But I think some of our ways ought to be crippled a little bit. We go too much the ways of our own choosing.
Yeah.
Our feet are too quick to take us the wrong ways.
Yeah.
We ought to kind of drag a foot and hobble on God's pathway. Bless God. We run too easy to the other things. But I'll say, oh, I don't care if I drag a leg, if I just got that touch of faith with God. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Oh, yeah. Apostles here, look at it. Who touched me? Who touched me? Look at the apostles. They didn't have anything. They didn't have anything but a touch of God. And I'm asking for God Almighty to give men and women in this place a new touch of fire.
Amen.
Amen. You hear what I'm telling you?
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with anybody in this church, but a touch from God couldn't cure right now.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't know if it is. Well, I don't care what you think. If God could touch him, that's the answer.
Yes, sir.
A touch from God will make an old hard heart get soft and cry. Oh, yes, it will.
Yeah.
It'll make an old soured up person just sweet and nice and repentant and lovable. Yes, it'll do it. A touch from God, it'll make an old dead, dry saint stand up and testify with a victory. You know it's so. A touch from God will bring you out to the Pentecost church every time the door's open. A touch from God will make you good once more. Instead of running after the things of darkness. A touch from God will help your life, your conduct, your manner, your morals, your grace. It'll help your dress. It'll help your prayer life.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it'll help you pay your bills. A touch from God's the answer. That's it, saints. Just a touch.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, God, give us a touch.
Yeah.
That's what the apostles had. That's all. They were men just like we are. Elijah and all those other boys were men just like we are. They only had one little thing different. They had that touch of God. Just a touch of God. Oh, Jesus Christ come down the road one time. And he saw an old blind man. He couldn't see. He saw this blind fella, and he went over there and said, "All right." He said, "Now, all right, let me pray for you." He went down and he got some mud. Spit on it. Got some mud, some dirt, spit on it, made mud, and put it in his eye. I mean, if you can receive it in substance, Jesus Christ just about spit in this fellow's eye. Got some dirt, spit in it, made mud, and threw it in his eye. I said, "Go on now, and go get healed." Now, brother, you talk about a hard job. How many ever saw a blind man? Huh? You ever see a blind fellow? A blind that can't see hardly, you know. And they say that even if they are blind, nobody's really totally blind, are they? You can differentiate between light and darkness. You can see, you know, maybe a blurred shadow or something. Or you can tell when the light goes on, when it goes off. But here's an old boy that's blind to begin with. And he can't see hardly at all. But the Lord tells him, there's mud in his eye. Now, sure enough, he couldn't see. Right, and then the Lord tells him something. Now that you got mud in your eye and you are blind, he said, "Go find a pool of water so I don't know that won't you." Imagine no blind fella trying to find a pool of water. You talk about a job.
Yeah.
He had a job. See, some of you folks think you've got it hard. All the Lord's asked you to do is repent of your sins, raise your hand, get the Holy Ghost, and baptize Jesus' name, and got it made. That's all. It isn't going through the little works here that's so hard. This fellow's works was a whole lot harder than yours and mine.
Yeah.
He had to find some water, and he couldn't see water. And if he could even tell where it was, he put mud in his eye, sure enough, couldn't find it now. But pretty soon he does get him down to the water.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, yes. You say, what did it? The mud? It wasn't the mud.
No.
Ah, Patty, what made that fellow whole? It wasn't spit that made him whole.
No.
It wasn't water that made him whole. No, it wasn't a pool of Siloam. If that was, brother, I'm going there as soon as I can to bring some of it home.
Yeah.
I'm going to give me a barrel of stuff and bring it back. If that's the truth, bless God, I'll sell it for $1,000 a drop.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. If that's it, $1,000 a drop, we'll have it made. No, that's not it. I want to tell you what made that old blind man whole again. When Jesus said, go wash, bless God, faith reached out for that pool. In obedience to the word of God, the command of God. That's all God wants. And that old boy touched God by faith as he sat down for the water. And that's all the Lord's trying to teach his children, is he'll just reach out and believe God's word. Oh, you might be thrown on your back one of these days, but it's going to take that same kind of faith to raise you up. You said they prayed for me yesterday, and the week before, I don't care how many times, it's still going to take faith to reach up and touch God. You can't make it by yourself. You can't make it by good works. You're going to have that old-fashioned faith to reach out there and believe God again. Well, I'm going to be done now. I'm through with all that. But I'm asking you as Pentecostal people, if you wouldn't make up your mind to say, God, I haven't turned my faith out like I should. And somehow I'm just content to go on and not have the blessings I want, the power I want, and I know I need it. Would you listen to me? Pentecost is fighting losing battles. When you can come out to your church house and sit through service after service and not get down and touch God for the victory in that service. It's the devil's business to make Pentecost a dead, dry thing that has no more power.
Yeah.
But oh, every now and then there's going to be somebody that can't stand it any longer. They're going to say, oh, God, send the power again.
Yeah.
And they're going to reach up and say, God, I want you to bless me tonight. Huh? Oh, yes, sir. You may say, well, now, no more stand. Pretty soon somebody can't help any longer. I've got to stand. They got something on the inside. Tell them to stand and say, glory to Jesus. Somebody mind God. Somebody sneak down to that prayer room. Somebody can't be satisfied with a formal meeting or a dead service. They want Pentecost. They want God to move. You listen to me, please. Somebody got a burden to get you in. Somebody worshiping God to make you appreciate Pentecost. And if you'll just turn your faith out there and you touch God by faith, somebody else is going to feel what you felt one time. My God's not dead. He's just waiting for faith to come back to life in your heart. That's all he wants. Well, God's got everything. I said he's got everything.
Yes.
He had it on the day of Pentecost, didn't he?
Yes.
Didn't he give it to him?
Yes.
Did he give it to him at Azusa Street?
Yes.
He gave it to him all over here years ago. All over India, didn't he do it?
Yes, he did.
He gave it when you got in, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
It was the same thing they had way back there. In other words, this is that. Well, what's wrong? You see, I guess it's run out. No. Jesus Christ is in yesterday, today, and forever. What are you waiting for, God, to touch your faith?
Yeah.
I don't care who it's in. If somebody just look out there and say, oh, God, I want it.
Lord.
Somebody may go hungry here, but if all there's a heart say, I'm not satisfied, more of God. I got to have more of God. That's all we want. That's all we need. You can line up 25 people. Get on down to an altar to seek the Holy Ghost. Bang, one of them will fall over there. Get the Holy Ghost. Another one here won't even fall. Just start speaking in tongues. They get the Holy Ghost. You mean 2 out of 25? How come? Just 2 people turned up and said, oh God, I'm touching you now. And faith touched God. Other people didn't have that faith. That's all. That's the only answer you got.
That's it.
Pray, sure. Good people, sure. They're good people. Yeah, they're not always sinning because they don't get the Holy Ghost. Maybe they don't pray or maybe they don't do certain things. Maybe they don't understand. Maybe there's unbelief. Let's put it that way.
But as far as smoking, drinking, fighting, bad living, man, that's not there. What is it that haven't got that faith to reach out and touch God? That's all. Now, I've seen folks pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray until they didn't have a prayer left in them. You know it so.
Yeah.
I said they didn't have a prayer hardly to touch God with, and suddenly just fell over exhausted on the floor and just reached out in faith.
Yeah.
Isn't that it?
Amen.
Just reached out and touched
God. Amen. Amen.
All right. We're going to be here for a few nights.
Praise the Lord.
Not very long. But I hope I can do you some good. And I want you to pray that God somehow will help Pentecost to rally in these closing hours of time. Believe me, this is it, saints. I said this is the wind-up time. And oh, God, if we're going to have a ministry, if we're going to have a bunch of churches that heaven's God's not ashamed of, we better get some faith out there and touch Him again.
Amen.
We're going to need that. I don't know what the new Pope's going to do to us. You say, well, what did the other fellow do? He done plenty. So he was a good man. Good man? Well, of course he's fulfilled the Word of God. Yeah. I want to tell you, though, I'd rather he'd been the meanest one there ever was. Because he's brought all church folks, not oneness, but he's brought all Protestants and everybody all together. Lovey-dovey stuff, that's just what the devil wants. Everything fine and dandy, we're all brethren. Of course, the Protestants are our separated brethren, they call them. And we all belong one to another. You come on back to mama, and they're all going there too.
Yeah.
Isn't that it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And that spirit is that. That's what it's taken to get them all together in these last days. But, oh, God, there's still a little old group over here. It may not be too much.
Uh-huh.
But bless God. If we don't have the big numbers, and we don't have the big buildings, and we don't have all the other stuff, but we just got that touch of faith. That's all we need.
Sir.
That's all it took to get the first bunch through. But you hear me. I'd hate to go through anything. I'd hate to have my back whipped, and I'd hate to be persecuted and face the Catholic Church or the devils that will crawl out of hell or anything else that we haven't got faith in our midst. But if we've got that, brother, we can walk into a dead line. You know it's the truth. Thank God. Well, I want us to come. Shall we stand?
Yeah.